Doc Mensink is here with us. Doctor, I woke up on Saturday. Literally, the pain woke me up in my gut. And my first thought was the diverticulitis coming back.
We talked about that. I think you...
You think it is?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, see, I figured it was either...
We're going to examine you this afternoon, we'll say. But
we'll see. We'll figure out what it... But it was weird because I thought, well, you know, I haven't had a, you know, in a couple of days. And I thought, well, maybe I'm constipated, you know. So I took some milk of magnesia, and boy, that lit me up like a house of fire. But I had no appetite either. I didn't want to eat. That's typical.
Well, there's typical. I had a patient, actually, I saw Friday. It's an RN that a patient of mine for years that had not diverticulitis, but diverticulosis.
Which is the worst one?
Diverticulosis means that you have a tick, all right?
Okay.
But you can get them inflamed or infected, and that's diverticulitis. But the bigger issue, you can actually die from this. If, listen carefully, two things. Number one, if you get an abscess formation and perforate your gut, then you need surgery and drain, all big mess.
God.
But the other, but what this nurse ended up with problems with is you can get painless diverticular bleeding, massive blood. And what typically these patients will do, they will feel, they'll have a lot of discomfort down there and terrible cramping, all right? Just tremendous cramping. And the blood tends to make the bowel cramp. And then they'll have a lot of what we call urgency or tenesmus, but they, you know, all of a sudden they got to go to the bathroom now, not 2 minutes ago.
That's exactly what.
And that means there's irritation of the internal sphincters, and that blood irritates everything. And then they'll pass a bit of a hard stool, and then they'll pass blood, and often current jelly stools, and they feel terrible. And this is what's called painless diverticular bleeding. And essentially, one of these ticks is bleeding.
Yeah, see, I haven't had that so far.
And that can be life-threatening, literally.
Well, I'll keep an eye on that. I haven't pooped blood, so that's a good thing. But what it is it's, oh, my God, I got to go, go. I go in, and there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's that feeling that you got to. Yep. And maybe there's some gas or something, but that's about it. So what did we do last time when I had the diverticulitis?
I think we need to be examined. Essentially, you need to make sure there's no what we call peritoneal irritation, but no signs of deep peritoneal irritation to suggest that you've got an abscess or you need a surgical opinion.
Well, I do remember this. You put me down on that lounging, what do you call those things? The examination table?
Yep. Is that?
And you pressed on my right side, lower abdomen, you pressed, that hurt? No. You got over the left side, you pressed, and I went, that's it. That's
diverticulitis, usually.
Okay, usually diverticulitis.
There's other things.
So what do? Do I take, can I take pain pills at all, or is that advice?
We don't advise. Let me tell you what. If you can take Tylenol.
Okay.
No aspirin or NSAIDs because if you have a clotting problem, they will cause a clotting problem. You don't want to stay away from narcotics except in extreme situations. And here's the problem. Why? Because the narcotics will constipate you and it'll make the tick problem.
Even worse.
Don't want to go there.
God.
All right?
I just want to get rid of it. So,
but if the bigger thing that I tell patients, if the pain is that bad, you need to be seen by your doctor. Just make sure you're not getting in trouble, literally, because you can literally die from a ruptured tick that goes bad and gets abscessed.
A tick?
Yes.
You mean like a tick, like a tick tick?
No, diverticulitis. We call them ticks in doctors. I'm sorry. try not to use doctor language here.
Blood sucking tick in my innards, you know. Yeah. Didn't you give you gave me an antibiotic, I think.
Typically, for an inflamed divertic, you need probably two types of antibiotics.
Okay.
All right. Depending how sick you are, we may give you shots or IV or something like that to get your blood levels up.
Now, I've been having some issues with the pharmacies. Going to get prescriptions and, we don't have that anymore. Oh, they don't make that anymore. And I just, you know, I've always wondered about the various pharmacies, especially the big ones, you know, the big ones in chain stores.
Well, maybe we should talk about pharmacies. A lot of people don't understand about pharmacies. There's three ways, Jazz, that pharmacies make money, or three... Well, that's not the right way to say it. There's three type pricing models. Let's talk it that way to go. And the classic is the Walmart $4 drug list. Everybody knows, all right?
Sure.
And a lot of other chains do the same thing. They have a drug list. But we'll use Walmart. It's not any better or worse than any other large chains. But that's a drug list that the pharmacy puts out. and literally, you know, 10 months or 3 months supply or one prescription worth. And it's either $4 for a month supply or $10 for 3 months supply. If a medicine, Jazz, is on one of those lists, mm-hmm. you cannot buy it cheaper anywhere. Okay? End of discussion.
That's what everybody, you told me that, everybody has.
Yeah, it's cheapest. Those. Now, here's the problem, all right?
Well, you can't beat $4 for
a
30-day supply.
You cannot buy it cheaper if it's on that $4 drug list, all right? You can, and by the way, you can go to Walmart, and the other pharmacies do the same thing, but Walmart will give you, you just ask from a $4 drug list, Walmart drug list, and they'll give you a stack of about 4 or 5 sheets of yellow paper with every drug that's on there.
Really?
All right.
So you know it was that big of a list.
Oh, yeah. So you know what's on there, all right? So the first thing you do is you want to look at that. In fact, you may want to talk to your doctor and say, is it possible I could use these drugs, all right? But that's the cheapest way to buy medicines, bar none, Zaz. You can't buy cheaper. Now, you have to be careful. A lot of people will, what they do, and I call Walmart, you know, classic, a little bit of a bait and switch. I don't quite mean it that way. But we've had prescriptions for vitamin D3 mm-hmm. that we sent over, and Walmart will charge them $99. And yet we can send you to another pharmacy where it's $13, all right?
Wait, are you talking about the 40 or 50?
The high-dose D3s.
Yeah, yeah, the 50,000 units or something
yeah,
like
but
that.
You can, go to, if it's not on that $4 Walmart drug list, it can be very, very, very,
very
high.
Expensive,
all right?
Sure.
And there's no discounts, all right? So people have to watch that. So the second thing is, how do most pharmacists, you know, how do they bill, all right? You have to understand this. The pharmacist does the first thing is they charge you a prescribing fee. And that's anywhere from $10, $12 to $15, $17, all right?
Really?
That's a fee for making up, you know, just prescribing this medicine. You know, the pharmacist counting out the pills and stocking and all that.
Okay.
Then they charge you for the medicine. Then they charge you as a percentage of the profit on that medicine they're going to sell you, 10%, 20%, 50%,
100%, Wait a minute. They charge the patient a percentage of what they're getting profit for?
No. Let's say you buy.
Explain that to
okay.
Me,
let's say that you. Let's say you buy a medicine that costs $100.
Okay.
So the pharmacist charges $100 for it.
Right.
So he charges. Let's say he charges you $12 for a prescribing fee. So it's now we're up to $112. Then he takes that medicine and he'll charge maybe 100%. All right, instead of $100, $200, or charge 50%. Maybe instead of $100, $150 or 10%, whatever it is. All right.
And, no way.
Yes. Okay, and then that's the price of your medicine.
Now, if you've got insurance, is your insurance company paying that extra percentage?
Yes, just wait. Insurance
better.
Insurances are smart. They have special lists that they will only pay for or only
right,
so much for.
True.
All right? And, you know, that's why you have all these formularies, all right, that they've negotiated saying, we're going to pay for X amount of drugs on a formula. We'll only pay this much. End of discussion. All right? That's,
gotcha.
You know, you can't play these games. And that's, so insurance companies have, are working that. Now, there's other issues with insurance companies that they do, but by and large, insurance companies are wised up. The problem is a normal person that goes in doesn't know this. All right? And so they end up getting caught. The third way that pharmacists do is, I call it the Costco model, but a lot of people don't realize that when you go to Costco charges you a flat rate for a prescribing fee, X amount of dollars. It's the same for every medicine.
Regardless of what the cost is.
And number two, they charge you for the cost of the medicine with no markup.
Now that's the way to do it.
And that's it, all right? So if you have a medicine that has a high markup, you want to go to a pharmacy like Costco, all right? By the way, another thing, tip about Costco, you don't need a Costco card to go to the Costco pharmacy.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, you just walk in and say, I'm going to the pharmacy because it's an independent pharmacy, all right? So that, and I'm not pushing Costco by any means. I don't have any shares at Costco. But if you understand how things are going and how sold, it's probably, there's things that might be cheaper at Costco than at another store.
Gotcha.
And I'll tell you a story. This is years ago, but my wife went to see her doctor, and she's had a stroke, and she has some spasticity problems, and the doctor gave her a spasticity medicine. And she called me up, and she says, Holder, you know, this medicine is $240 a month. And I went, stop, don't buy it. And it was at one of the chains, you know, you'd know the name, one of the big chains. And I said, go over to Costco, all right? You're going to want this drug as a generic with no markup. She bought the same prescription for $24 for a 2 month supply.
Holy
all right?
Cow.
That's the difference, all right?
Holy
yeah.
cow.
So you have to watch. Now, if you have something on a $4 Walmart drug list, Costco is is not as Walmart's cheaper than Costco. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I got
or
you.
One
yeah.
of your chains?
No, I was going to ask you.
It's going to be cheaper than Costco.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to ask you about that.
But okay, what I suggest, all right, and if you want to, what we'll talk a little bit at the very end. What makes a good pharmacist? But you are probably better finding a pharmacist, and your doctor will know who's good and who's bad around there. You know, ask your doctor. But your doctor will know who's a good pharmacist. But you want a very good pharmacist who doesn't play games,
right,
who has a moderate price structure. You know what I mean? He may not be able to beat Walmart, you know, for a drug list. But instead of $10, it may be $13 or $15. Do you feel it's not that
yeah,
over
it's not that,
that
much?
Much
more,
all right,
yeah.
And that's a good way to do it. But it you can spend them a pile.
Well, it seems to me, too, that, you know, you talk about the big chains, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, all of them. They're probably pretty much, even though they're different companies, they're probably pretty much the same as the way they operate on a corporate level. But the local guys that work in, you got to be concerned about that, too, right? I mean, even if it's a, because you got to be able to trust that pharmacist.
Yeah, the most of the chains, all right, and you have to understand the chains have, you know, there's very little loyalty the pharmacist to the chain usually.
Really?
Number two, they have they'll have a different well, today there's somebody's off, we'll get a pharmacist from the pool kind of thing, you know, that comes in.
Right.
There's you know, and they're really they don't have you know they're not in the patient's corner. Whereas you have a local pharmacist, he's in a patient's corner. In fact, we'll talk about it now, but what makes a good pharmacist?
Well, let's take a break and let's do that because, you know, you directed me to a local pharmacist not too far from my house, about equal distance to the local Rite Aid. And I love this guy. You know, I've had several experiences with him. And whereas, you know, you fax a prescription to one of the big chains, and then an hour and a half later, you go to get it, and it hasn't been filled yet, and you have to wait an hour, or come back in an hour, or come back tomorrow. But what I discovered about this guy and this particular pharmacist is that you go in, and you can literally hand your prescription. You don't even have to fax it; just hand it to the little gal at the checkout. She goes back and hands it to him, and bada boom, bada bing, in 5 minutes.
There it is.
You're out the door.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about him and your experiences with these several different pharmacies that you work with.
Jazz McKay on 1560 AM and 97.7 FM KNZR.
Coming up, Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America on the Jazz McKay Show. We'll be talking to Larry about who they are endorsing in this race.
Let's do it.
We're going to do it in just a little while. Right now, I've got Dr. Mensink in here, and I'm learning a lot today from you about how these pharmacies work. Tell everybody the story of Mrs. Smith.
Well, that wasn't a real name, but yeah, we were talking. Okay, let's do that.
Well, you know, you can't tell us the real name of the patient.
Well, I had a patient. This is years ago, and I had a patient that, to make a long story short, was she had a brain tumor. Her husband had a brain tumor, okay? And we'd operated a couple times, and he's dying. It's over. He's going to be dead in a month kind of thing. He really doesn't know who he is or what's going on. And he came in for a visit, and essentially what I told her is, look, why don't we load this patient up on a certain medicine that'll clear his brain for probably a week, 10 days, all right? Then he's going to crash and burn. Instead of living a month, no, he'll probably, you know, within 2.5 weeks, he'll be over. But he's going to have, you know, a week of being with his family, knowing what's going on, knowing what's. And she says, that would be fantastic. And we'll call all the family, say our goodbyes. But she says, Doc, I'm broke. I can't afford it. All right? We have no money. I said, listen, here's the deal. I will give you generic medicine. Okay? It will cost next to nothing. Go get it. So she goes to her pharmacy, all right, big box pharmacy, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, and the pharmacist looks at the medicine prescription. He says, "Well, Mrs. Smith," he says, "you know, this medicine, the non-generic, is $160, but I can save you $40. It'll be $120 for this prescription." And I found out later didn't do it. She couldn't afford it. All right, she didn't buy it. Now, here's what's crazy and crazy about this, Jazz. This medicine, all right?
But you'd written for a generic, and that's not a generic price.
But listen carefully, Jazz. This is what people don't understand. This medicine, let's say that he's a regular pharmacist, okay? He's going to charge, let's say, $15 for the
prescription.
All right, so that's $15. This medicine, I happen to know, generic, costs less than 10 cents a pill, all right? She is going to receive 20 pills. All right. So that's $2 for the medicine. Right, right. All right. So this pharmacist is paying $2 for the medicine, $15 for his prescribing fee, and he's charging her $120, and he's telling her she's saving $40.
Money. Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of games played in pharmacies. And what happens is not all pharmacists, but many pharmacists, they're making more money on generics than they are on the trade medicine. And the patient thinks they're getting
discount. They're getting a deal of $20 off, $40
off. And they're getting taken to the cleaners.
Oh, my God.
And this is happening over and over. So that's why you want a good pharmacist. You know, like we talked about, what makes a good pharmacist? Because these are some of the games. The studies show that pharmacists today are making more money on generics, selling generics, because they're making thousands of percent profits in many cases.
Wow.
And the patient thinks they're getting generic and they're buying something cheaper.
By getting $40 off of what should have cost two freaking dollars.
Exactly. And they're making thousands of percents.
Now, on generics, what's the deal? A couple of years ago, or maybe not even that long, maybe only a year ago, there was a big story about some guy, some young entrepreneur who owned a pharmaceutical company, small pharmaceutical company, and he goes and buys, I don't know, three or four other ones, all of which manufactured a generic pill. They were the only ones that did, and he was going after that particular pill. And then he took it off the market. Nobody could get it at all. Yeah. And then put it back on the market. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, this maggot. Happens. In fact, there was a big congressional hearing about this.
Yeah, he raised the price of the pill.
But here's what's happening. A lot of people don't understand, all right? And it's it's sad. It's criminal. But let's say I'll give you an example. This is a classic example. My my aunt was with us, and I bought her she needed a medicine for her Parkinson's that is generic and costs next to nothing. 10 years ago was dirt cheap.
Right.
Pennies, you know, nothing. All right? And the pharmacist calls me and says, Jan, he says, you know, this medicine is $300. You want to buy it? And my response is, oh, my God, what's going on kind of thing? You know?
$300.
But see, here's what's happening. There'll be, let's say, 5 makers of some kind of generic medicine. And they're making, you know, there's competition. They're not making very much money on this. All right? So somebody will get together and they'll buy all 5 makers out.
Right.
Now they have a monopoly. Okay, now there's 5 makers, or you know, buy all 4 but one or whatever. But they buy the majority up. Then they'll have some problem with their line. You know that the FDA has to shut them down for a month or two while they do whatever. All right, and then they bring the medicine. Now there's a shortage, nationwide shortage. And then they bring the medicine back. And
so the drugs that are in reserve, the price goes up because there's a shortage.
Now what happens is they have this shortage because no medicine's around, and then they bring it back online, and the price goes up 300%.
Jeez.
All right? Peace. And you've got this medicine that was generic that would cost 50 cents that now costs $3 a pill or whatever. I'm just giving examples.
You're pulling numbers out. I know.
But that's happening across the country in many places, all right?
Whoa.
And that makes it hard for normal people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because there's countless examples of that. Where it's difficult for the normal person, you know, a drug that is supposed to be, you know, next to nothing.
This,
all right,
this guy
is all of a sudden has become very high.
The guy he was talking about, and you're right, he was under congressional investigation, and his excuse was, "Hey, it's capitalism. It's capitalism." That's the kind of maggot that gives capitalism a bad name.
Sure, but when you get into this crony capitalism where you're getting rid of competition, you know, and stuff like that,
right?
It doesn't help.
Sound a little like Donald Trump.
I wouldn't go there. I'm afraid to go there. But Jazz, these are difficult things that people don't understand. You know what I mean?
Right.
It gives capitalism a bad name.
It's
not really capitalism. But it's difficult. What makes a good pharmacist?
What does?
Yeah, because that's, and I'm a strong believer of the local, the local pharmacist, all right? The small independent pharmacy. Now, two things you have to understand about your local pharmacist, all right? There's several things, but number one is he's a local entrepreneur. But most pharmacists, all right, listen carefully, most pharmacists end up buying from, let's say CVS. CVS has all our chains, all right?
Right.
Thousands of pharmacists around the country. They also have a drug company, a drug supplying company, where they sell all their medicines to the local little pharmacists, all right? And that comes up important in just a minute, as we'll talk about. So you have to remember that the local pharmacist is often has a supplier that is really part of a big chain. Not all, all right, but many do. All right. The second thing is that you want a pharmacist who is local. You know, I like local, somebody local, who you can understand, all right? Just like a doctor, you want to understand me, no language barriers, all right? Number two, I like a pharmacist who is in my patient's court, all right? Like I have, one of the pharmacists we use is a very good pharmacist. He's a good person, too. But he'll call me up and say, Dr. Minsick, you know, you gave her Mrs. Smith XYZ drug. You know, she can't really afford that. And, you know, would it be okay if we gave her, PQRS drug, which is you have to take it three times a day. It's going to be a tenth the cost. Would that be okay?
Oh, yeah.
To me, this is a pharmacist that's in my patient's favor.
There's no brainer right there.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I like that kind of a pharmacist. You know, many of the big pharmacists won't do that.
The big pharmacies won't. And my experiences have been, not always, and not with all of the big pharmacies, but with some, and it's way too many to not be concerned, is that at least the person ringing you up, who's not a pharmacist, by the way, they're just an assistant back there, the person on that you're having the one-on-one with is absolutely 100% uninterested in anything in any way that you have to say. They just don't give a hoot. Well, and that's what irritates me.
There's, by law, pharmacists have to educate, do some education.
They're supposed to. You can't build in care or feelings to these people.
All right. Now, the other place where it's very good to have a small pharmacist, okay? And we sort of alluded to this, but there are different medications. Let's take medicines that we have what's called a low therapeutic margin of error, all right? And there's several of them. Dilantin's one, digoxin is one. But there's certain medicines where the dose is incorrect,
right,
bad things happen, all right?
Yeah,
There's very low margin of error, all right? Now, a lot of people don't understand. When you buy, let's say a Dilantin tablet, all right? Dilantin's now generic, but if I write you a prescription for non-generic Dilantin, all right, it's not called Dilantin now, it's a different name, but let's say that I write you a prescription for a non-generic Dilantin, all right, the regular trade Dilantin.
Right.
All right?
Gotcha.
And it's going to cost a fortune. That prescription has 100 milligrams of Dilantin in it, all right? It's a 100 milligram tablet. Now, what people don't understand is when I go buy a generic Dilantin tablet, that generic tablet, by the FDA allows this, can have 30% under or 30% over that medicine. So where you're having trouble, let's say that you're an epileptic that takes Dilantin. All right. And it's just true with many drugs, by the way, not just Dilantin. But let's say you're an epileptic and you take Dilantin and you start having troubles with seizures. The first thing I'll tell you to do, and we check your levels, and your levels are 1 month are up and next month are low, and they're all over the place. And we can't, and you're taking the same level of drug, all right? Well, we'll tell you to go to a small box, local pharmacist, all right? And here's why. Because that local pharmacist, Jazz, he is buying from his one supplier every month, and he's getting the same brand, all right?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You have to be careful. If he's buying from a big box pharmacy thing, that's not true. But if he's buying from the same company, he's always getting a brand of Dilantin that's always, could be 70 milligrams, 90 milligrams, 100, 110, 120, 130. I don't care, because I'm going to adjust as long as you're getting the same medicine.
Right.
But if you go, let's say you go to a big box pharmacy, what you will happen every month,
it'll be different for different companies.
This company will bid. We want millions of so many million capsules of Dilantin 100 milligram generic. So 1 month it'll be company A, which is 70 milligrams. Next month is company B, which is 130 milligrams. Next month is company C, which is 100 milligrams. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I've had that experience before.
Problem that patients, the doctor's going screwy and the patient's going screwy, and nobody can figure out what's happening. And the first thing we do is, we blame the patient. You're not taking your medicine.
You're not taking your medicine the way you're supposed to.
Exactly. And that's not true. So that's another reason why I like a small box pharmacist to do that.
I had the same experience on one of my blood pressure meds, metoprolol. And the metoprolol, is that how you
metoprolol.
Say it? Metoprolol. And it was always a little pink pill. It was always the same. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, it was a little...
Blue pill or something.
little white oval-shaped pill. And the instructions were to take two of them. And I was confused as hell. I wasn't seeing you at the time. I was seeing Dr. Coffrey. And so I call up Dr. K, and he says, oh, and he explained that to me vaguely. He said, yeah, whatever it is, he said, just if it says take two, then take the two, because that's the equivalent of taking yeah. one of the others. And I thought, well, how bizarre. So it was the big box pharmacy had gotten a different shipment in. They had yeah. negotiated yeah. from the big companies.
Well, you have to
remember, now that explains yeah, it all.
You have to remember that just because, and doctors know this, all right? They're cognizant of this, but the patient has no clue, all right? They have, you know, the patient thinks, well, it's a generic 100 milligram. It's got to have 100 milligrams. Not so.
Not so.
Could have 30% less or 30% more, all right? And that's where you get in trouble with that. The other thing that is important, Jess, is if you, when you have these kind of medicines, all right, that happen, these problems, it is very easy to get in trouble with, you know, yeah. with, these low therapeutic margin medicines, and that's where you get in trouble.
Well, I advise anybody who's looking for a small pharmacy, at least in the Oildale area. We've got several right here that are just great. North Chester Pharmacy. Yeah,
they're good.
Brock is very good. El Tejon Pharmacy yeah. is yeah, very
small
good.
Small pharmacy, family pharmacy. We use that.
Family pharmacy yeah, downtown, right?
What we will tell you, all right, when you come, our policy, our mantra, you know, the practice is cost-effective quality care in a conscientious environment. I will tell you where the cheapest place to go. I don't care yeah. where you go, really. It doesn't matter to me. But I will tell you where the cheapest place to go for this medicine. And like this morning, I had one patient. Well, the cheapest was to go to Walmart because it was on the Walmart $4 drug list. And the other one was cheaper to go to, I said it was Brock over at North Chester Pharmacy, right. All right? But we will tell you where. I don't really care where you go. Really, it doesn't matter to me. But most doctors know where it's cheapest and where
right.
it's best.
Someday
to go.
It's going to be Costco. Someday it may be Walmart. Yes. Someday it may be Family Pharmacy. Someday it may be El Tejon.
Exactly. Whatever.
And the other thing I want to say to people out there who are looking for a good small pharmacist, a lot of these small town pharmacies, small pharmacies will deliver for
yes.
free. And
yes.
you're never going to get that from a big box store.
No, that's true.
Not in a million yeah. years. They will deliver their services spot on.
Yeah.
And I'll absolutely stand by that because I believe in these small pharmacies. You know, I like the pharmacy that I deal with, the big box pharmacy that I deal with. I like the people that work there. I go there for so many other things that, you know, maybe I get my prescription someplace else. But there's so many other items in the store that I go there all the time to buy, you know, Kleenex, dog chews, toilet paper, whatever. There's so many different ways to use.
KNZR, Chaz McKay on 1560 AM and 97.7 FM KNZR.
We're back with Dr. Mensing on the Chaz McKay. This is, I find this really fascinating stuff because, you know, we can sit here, Doc, and we can talk about the flu. And that's all fine and well. We can sit here and we can talk about my diverticulitis. How do I say that, anybody?
Diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis. Or we can talk about flat feet. Or we can talk about hair loss. We can talk about a lot of things that doesn't affect everybody.
But pharmacy affects everybody.
Pharmacy affects everyone. And I'm learning things that I had no idea. Now, I wanted to ask you, see, in the old days, we used to get the handwritten script. And sometimes you still do that.
So especially narcotics or triplicate scripts.
Yeah, because you want to make sure that
the law says it'll have to be written out in a certain pad, you know, things like that.
And all that. And the other way that I knew was faxing, where the it goes on a fax machine. But you just mentioned something to me during this break about an e-script, and I never heard of that before.
Well, a lot of people... probably most 90% of all scripts today are done by what's called e-script.
Really?
All right? Oh, yeah. And it works fast. Essentially, it's email. But here's what people don't understand about e-scripts, is that if I send a prescription by email, e-scripts, to XYZ Pharmacy.
Or the big box pharmacy.
Or any pharmacy. Any pharmacy in the country. All right? It doesn't go from my email to that pharmacy.
What do you mean?
It goes first from my email back to New Jersey to a central clearinghouse where they keep track of all these things. All right. And from there, the Central Clearinghouse sends it to XYZ Pharmacy. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Now, this is all pharmacies, even the small ones?
Yes, every pharmacy.
Well, what is this place in New Jersey? Is this some government outfit that's monitoring everything?
E-Scripts keeps track of all this and how much – there's different opinions.
Okay, so there's a company.
Yeah, a company called E-Scripts that keeps track of all these things. There is different opinion about whether the government knows it or not. Okay, some people think so, some people don't. But we don't know this. But I have patients, Jazz, that that know this. Very few people know this, by the way, okay? Very few people know this. But who refuse to have an e-script script. They all want every prescription written by hand.
Right.
So there's no chance that the government or anyone else will know what it is.
Right.
All right? And so it's something interesting. It's wise to know. I don't think there's been a lot of issues about it. But what can happen, for instance, if I send a prescription, every once in a while something goes wrong with e-scripts, and I send it to New Jersey, and the pharmacist doesn't get it, all right, and there's a problem with the computers. But it's not my computer, or it's not the email. There's a problem back there in New Jersey. That's not that often, all right? But you just need to be aware that when your doctor uses an e-script, that it's not going directly from email to your pharmacy.
See, I had no idea. And I figured, I thought you guys were sitting there with your fax program on your computer and sending them.
We use that too. You know,
I'm not crazy about faxes because it seems to me that they can be ignored pretty easily by the pharmacy, that they stack. I always see this in my mind. And it just plops out. And it plops out. And they just keep stacking up while they're filling the orders that they've got back there. And
that's exactly
the way it works in one of these, at least the big boxy ones, I would assume. See, I walked into, you gave me a script, or you e-scripted it over to Northchester Pharmacy. And I went, and right after leaving seeing you, which was in around 3:30 or 4 o'clock maybe, and by the time I got there to
it was ready. Yeah.
And
that's
was,
the way it should
And there
work.
Was one problem. I'll say this. There was one problem. It was with my inhaler, my Ventolin. And my insurance company said they wouldn't pay for it because it had been too soon. Well, see, the day before, I had been at the big box pharmacy, and they wouldn't fill it. They would substitute another one, which was, what's the other?
Probably Proair.
And they would do that, but I had to pay $60 because my insurance. And they told me, that was my copay. And I said, wait, $60 for a copay? I pay $10 per copay. And they're trying to tell me it's $60 for the copay. Well, that wasn't the case. Anyway, long story short, the people over at the small pharmacy looked at that and knew exactly immediately right away what it was. I didn't have to explain it. And they got on the phone to the big box pharmacy. They called them up and said, release that, because apparently it had been logged into the system.
And
the insurance company thought I'd got it the day before, even though I'd turned it down. And as the pharmacist told the young lady who made the phone call, be firm but be nice to them.
That's good advice.
Within just a few minutes, it was bing, it's all done, man. The computer system from United Healthcare to the pharmacy was all cleared up, and they realized finally that I hadn't received that prescription the day before.
Yeah, there's
but
a lot.
You couldn't get that at one of those big box stores.
Well, there's a lot of games, Jazz, in pharmacy. I think it's worthwhile talking.
And
about.
Not anything against these folks that work in there, but the system by which they're working under, it's just too convoluted, and it's too big. We've all heard the term too big to fail, and a lot of times they're so big that they do fail. And that could be what's coming. Dr. Mensink from The Practice. It is prepaid family medicine that makes a difference for you and your family. And give them a call at 871-3300. 871-3300. Take some time to sit down and talk to them about the programs that they have to offer you. Meet Dr. Mensink, and I'm sure it'll change your life.